I want to allow it to access. All right, my name is Janet Eberly. I am 38 years old, and today is 8 July of 2019. I am speaking with my grandmother, Louise Eberly, the day after her 89th birthday, and we are recording this interview in Tyler, Texas. So, Grandma, I have heard you talk about traveling on the train with your sister Anne when you were little girls living in Oklahoma, and I wanted to ask you more about that because I've heard some of the stories, but I'd like to know more. So, we'll start with why were you all traveling, and where were you traveling to when you were little girls in Oklahoma?
We were traveling from Tulsa, Oklahoma, to Salem, Illinois, part of the time. Other times from Tulsa, we would go down to Fort Worth, Texas. For the purpose, going to Illinois was to see our dad, who was working up there in the Salem oil fields, and going in Texas to visit relatives who lived in Jacksboro, Texas. But the train didn't go to Jacksboro, so we had to get off in the Fort Worth area, and our relatives would meet us there.
How old were you when you were doing this?
I was 8, and my sister was 9, and we traveled alone.
What was that like? Because now you couldn't possibly go anywhere by, you know, we have huge procedures to transfer children from one person to another if they want to travel on an airplane. So what was it like traveling by yourself when you were that age?
We were not afraid. At the time, our aunt in Tulsa would put us on a night train so that we slept in the upper bunk, the two of us, on the train all night to St. Louis, where our dad would pick us up. I have a feeling that our dad had given our aunt money to give the porter, because of course we had to call the porter every time we needed to go to the ladies' room, because he'd have to bring a ladder for us to go down. On the train Fort Worth, it was a Zephyr, and there was a hostess at that time, like there are hostesses on the airplanes now, there was a hostess on the Zephyr, and so she looked after us to get us from Tulsa to Fort Worth.
So when you were doing this, since I've already said that you're 89 years old, this was during the 1930s, and it was the Dust Bowl. Did you see all of that as you were traveling around on the train?
We did not see so much of the Dust Bowl. In going toward Illinois, there was that, not the problem there. The problem we had was in Tulsa, because you had to keep the window shut. Otherwise, you'd have sand on the windowsills and all over. There were dry spots going through the western part of Oklahoma on the way down to Fort Worth. But as 8 and 9 year olds, we didn't really pay much attention to that. We were too fascinated with the hostess on the train.
What was fascinating about her?
Oh, she wore a uniform and had a little cap. It was very beautiful.
So how long would you, as you said you were going back to see your dad, how long would you be away from him generally?
Oh, we usually would be away sometimes 2 to 3 weeks because he did travel. We had a wonderful aunt where we lived. Our mother had died the previous year, and so this was a reason for us to be with our aunt.
And what was your aunt's name?
Aunt Blanche.
What is your favorite memory of your Aunt Blanche?
Oh, her sense of humor. She had never had any daughters. She had an older son. We had an older cousin, and he was wonderful. He was like an older brother. And so it was a new experience for her to all of a sudden have two young girls under her care. But she had a wonderful sense of humor with us.
And how long did you do this traveling back and forth and riding on the train by yourselves?
We did this for a couple of years.
And were you going to school down in Tulsa while you were staying with your Aunt Blanche, or were you doing that back up in Illinois?
No, we were in school in Tulsa. which is where we had started. And that was one reason Dad did not take us with him. He wanted to keep some consistency with our lives after our mother died, and wanted us to stay where we had friends and were familiar with the school.
And what was your favorite memory from this time of the traveling back and forth and staying with your Aunt Blanche?
Oh, I think just the adventure. Anne and I are very different personalities as I look back. She was tall and stately, and I was short and fat. And but we shared the adventure together. I mean, what she didn't think of, I would think of to try to do. We weren't in competition with each other. It was just, well, let's do this today, and then, okay, it's your turn tomorrow, kind of thing. So we did share.
Mm-hmm. And then what was your dad doing during this time?
Dad was working. He worked for an oil supply company. And so he was in charge of three states and made the headquarters in Salem, Illinois, which was probably about 70 miles from St. Louis in southern Illinois. And so he was staying there doing his job in order to provide for sister and myself.
And then once you all, you know, after this period of time, this couple of years finished, where did you all move and where did you stay after that?
After that time, Dad remarried and we moved back. He was transferred back to Tulsa. And so then we picked up again with our life there in Tulsa, and finished our grammar school and junior high and high school. Then we were fortunate to be able to stay that length of time in Tulsa.
And did you guys go somewhere else after that?
Only to go off to, we went off to college. My after my freshman year in college, Dad was transferred to Northern Canada. We went up, he was transferred to Calgary, Alberta.
And did you go with him?
I did, reluctantly. He was not about to leave his youngest daughter in Oklahoma with him being so far away, and neither was my second mother. And since my sister was in her third year at Northwestern in Chicago, he felt it was not fair to ask her to go. So I was selected after my freshman year in Oklahoma State to go and register for the University of Alberta in Edmonton.
And what was it like going from Oklahoma up to Alberta?
A complete change. When you've never seen anything below 32 degrees, and the first winter you're there, you walk to class in 25 to 30 below zero. It was quite a change, especially in my saddle shoes that I had. And my dad and second mother did buy me a beaver coat so that I would stay warm on my walk to class.
What was your favorite thing that you got to do while you were in Alberta?
I think to work at Banff. One summer, it was very difficult for an American girl. I was classified as a landed immigrant after 6 months of being at the university. My visa had run out. So I was classified as a landed immigrant. And the Canadian people were only allowed so many Americans on their payroll. And so for a dumb junior in college, was difficult to find summer work. But one of the girls that lived in a house where I lived in Edmonton's father had a resort at Banff, and he needed summer help. And he asked if I would come and work with his daughter at Banff for the summer, and I did, and that was one of the best times ever.
What kind of work did you do?
I was a greeter. I registered the guests. We had log cabins, and I would show the guests their log cabins. caution them about the bears and not to put the food on the windowsill and so forth because they were likely to have friends at night. I then met young people from across Canada who were working at the Banff Springs Hotel. And on their day off, they had use of the facilities at the hotel. And so if I happened to have some time off, they would invite me to come and we could use the facilities at the Banff Springs Hotel, which made us feel like royalty.
That sounds fantastic. What all did you get to use? What were the facilities like?
Well, especially the swimming pool, and in the evenings, of course, there were also the young men that were the bellhops and so forth at the hotel, as well as the girls were mostly either housemaids or waitresses. And they always had a dance floor and a wonderful orchestra. Well, most of the people at that time in the late 30s or the middle 40s, I should say, the people could not afford, most people could not afford to stay at the hotel. Those that did were elderly and they went to bed early. So the band wouldn't, by 10 o'clock, all the guests were normally disappearing to their own rooms. And so they'd invite us to stay and dance. So we got to stay until they stopped playing. And that was great fun, too, to have that opportunity when we didn't have to pay for it.
Absolutely. What was your favorite dance at that time?
Oh, I don't think I really had a favorite one. I just liked to dance. Not that I was very good at it, but I just loved to dance. And the music was always good. We didn't have a lot of the type that they play nowadays. I mean, it was mostly swing. Mm-hmm. And it was easier. You could follow the fellow a little bit better.
That sounds super fun. So did you go back and finish and graduate in Edmonton?
Yes, I was very fortunate. I was able to graduate in 3 years. You were required to have so many first-class honors in order to get your degree. And I was the only American at the university at that time, which did open up a number of avenues for me. I was managing editor of the university newspaper, so I was able to do some interviews. So I finished up there. At the time, Princess Elizabeth and Prince Philip came, and since it was the provincial capital, they were there for a big parade, and that was a highlight, too, to be able to go and be able to see the princess and prince at that time. Also, at that time, the king died, mm-hmm. and it was a very sad, somber time. For 3 days, there was nothing on the radio but funeral music. It nearly drove me up the wall.
That sounds pretty interesting. So what did you do after you graduated?
I came to Chicago because my sister had graduated from Northwestern 2 years before, and we had made a pact that wherever she was that I would come once I graduated. And she had a job at Sears in the corporate office there. And so I came to Chicago to see what kind of job I could get. And so I moved there and I interviewed with several newspapers because I was journalism and English were my major, and found that the Chicago Tribune, I thought, oh boy, I can be a feature writer for them because I had written for the Edmonton paper as well as the university paper. And they wanted to put me in the want ad department for $50 a month. And I kindly said to them, thank you, but I can't live on $50 a month in Chicago. So I ended up working for a national advertising agency in the media department in radio and television time buying. And that is what I did. Writing and buying time on radio and television for our clients.
That sounds fascinating. What would we remember any of the names of the companies that you had as clients?
Yes, Morton Salt mm-hmm. was one. Household Finance was another. Kennel Rations was another one. And I was the assistant to the buyer, but on certain accounts, if she was stacked up, then she would, have them call me. I did the scheduling for them. And so every 10-second, 20-second, 30-second, or 1-minute commercial, I had to make up a schedule and have it printed to send to the client and to the person who was in charge of that account within our Needham, Lewis & Broerby was the advertising agency. That there in Chicago, we had a main office in New York and one in San Francisco.
Very interesting. How long did you do that for?
I did that for 2.5 years.
What was it, now there's a lot of discussion about women and corporate work and all these different things. What was it like being a working woman at that time?
I happened to work for a woman. And as a matter of fact, and she was truly one of the better. There were two time buyers, she was really, I worked for both of them to begin with, but then ended up working for her. And she was wonderful. And she was well thought of by the representatives from the radio stations that she dealt with. Interesting enough, the officers or the owners of the Needham, Lewis, and Broerby, the Lewis was John Lewis was a trainee. His father was one of the founders, and he ended up being the American ambassador to England later in life. Wow. So it was interesting because he started about the same time I did, but of course, being the son of one of the owners, he advanced further than I did. But our offices were on the 44th floor of the Field Building down in the middle of Chicago. The problem was that the elevator only went to the 43rd floor, so every day you had to walk up one floor to get to the 43rd floor. And this used to be Marshall Field's penthouse that he no longer owned the building, and so they turned his penthouse into the offices for our department, not the whole company, but just for our department. And so the president's office happened to be Marshall Field's living room. And it was right on the same floor and very accessible to us lowly employees. When he was not there, his secretary would invite us to come and have lunch on his balcony, because we all couldn't afford to go out to eat, so we took our lunch sacks and sat on his balcony and had lunch and got a beautiful view of Chicago and Lake Michigan.
Oh, that sounds pretty spectacular. How many women were working in the kind of average, or was the time buying mostly women?
No, the peasants, as we called ourselves, the peons, were women. Mm-hmm. The higher-ups were men. A company person that contacted the person itself, I think maybe we had two women and the rest were men. One of the new accounts that I forgot to tell you about was the all detergent, and this was just being introduced, and it was the first non-suds detergent to come to the market. So of course I forget how many stations, both radio and television, that we bought time on to bring this new product. So that was quite exciting for us to be able to snare that account. It was a feather in the cap for the company.
That sounds pretty neat. So having spent all that time working in, you know, radio and television ads, and now we're in the ages of digital technology, and I should add for those who listen to this eventually, my grandmother is very savvy and is holding an iPhone right now and can FaceTime and do all the things. But what has been kind of the neatest advance in technology that you've seen during your lifetime?
Well, of course, the IT. I still don't understand it. And it still confuses me and baffles me. I think that truly, and the idea to be able to have a phone that walks with you. I mean, we had walkie-talkie toy things that you'd try to make work, which never did. That's wonderful. It's a safety thing, I think, too, which is very, very helpful.
Mm-hmm. So in comparison, when you were living with your Aunt Blanche and away from your father for 3 weeks at a time, would you get to talk or correspond with him during that time frame, or would you just have to wait to see him the next time?
No, we would talk with him. And when he would come, he would be home maybe then 2 weeks or so at a time, too. Every night would read stories. And so we would take one book after another. And one of the series of books was a Madeline Brandes book. And this was a story of a mother and a daughter who traveled the world. And so it gave us, sister and I, the opportunity to know what was happening with other children, because they'd visit England and France and Germany. And they'd have pictures of the attire and what the these youngsters were doing too. They were wonderful stories, and so he would read a chapter or two each night before we would go to bed, and this was our time more or less together.
Well, that sounds really fantastic. Now, since I know this, since you've and we're going to end now because my grandmother is we've been going, and so. But thank you so much for talking to me today.
You're very welcome. I was afraid I was going to call.
No, that's okay.